Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, there's some interesting comments that are on my X thread right now that I want to address, too. Welcome back to the Northern Kia Studios on this Sunday morning. John Fricke with you as we take it to 12:45. We have college basketball today, Ohio State and Illinois. But by the way, this has nothing to do with nothing. Noel White knows this. But when you're in television, I learned this when I was a really young anchor. That was 40-some-odd years ago when I was first anchoring. I started anchoring television at CNN in 1981, okay? And I had to learn the hard way, because I even hear it now, and you may too. You have to learn to pronounce the certain cities and states. You have to pronounce them correctly, because if you don't, the people that live there, oh, Noel, they are going to call you and jump down your throat. Man, that gets so mad. When you mispronounce their town or their state, oof. Yeah, that's about the worst thing you can do. Because, Noel, you cannot imagine the number of phone calls you get if you mispronounce a town or a state. It's like people just go bonkers. Just nutty. Like, Noel, you know the state that Las Vegas is in?
Nevada.
Thank you much. I heard it the other day on the news channel, Nevada. I went, oh, that person's getting calls.
Yep.
It's not Nevada. It's Nevada. Nevada. And in Nevada, they don't want to be called anything. It's Nevada. It's because you have to understand how they hear it. It's like if you said Arkansas, okay? And people in Arkansas will go, eh, it's not Arkansas. It's Arkansas, damn it. And, you know, that's how they hear it. And the state of Illinois, not only is, first off, you can't pronounce the S at the end, right? We all know that you can't say Illinois, right? Everybody understands the S is silent. So is the I at the beginning. You may not know that, because in Illinois, they don't say Illinois, they say Chicago, Illinois. And you have to say Illinois, because that's what it is, it's Illinois. It's a little bit of a slur, but really, it's still more towards the Illinois. It's like Wisconsin, okay? But you got to pronounce places correctly. Because I used to get into these. This has nothing to do with nothing, Noel. I used to get into this debate. I used to love to troll people when I worked at CNN. Like, I worked there during the time that they changed the Peking to Beijing. Are you old enough to remember when we called it Peking?
No, Beijing? I'm not.
Okay, so before Beijing, it was like, before Nissan, it was called Datsun, right? And it was, right. And the name changed? Okay, so before, that's why you have the dish Peking duck, which I've never actually had, but we don't call it Beijing duck. We call it, you know, Peking. Like they changed Kiev. Chicken Kiev became Chicken Kiev, okay? But I would say, why did we change the pronunciation of Peking? Because it was Peking. Why did we change it from Peking to Beijing? And the answer I got back, I just asked the question from the news people was, well, because that's what they call it in China. And I went, so what? Well, we have to be culturally appropriate to the people in China. They don't call it Peking. They call it Beijing. I went, oh. Are we doing that for everybody or just them? Well, what do you mean? I said, oh, is it going to be Ciudad de Mexico or are we just calling it Mexico City? Is it going to be Nippon or are we sticking with Japan? Walk me through this. I just want to know what I have to change and what I don't have to change. It would fluster them so much. I mean, are we going to call it Deutschland or are we sticking with Germany? I'm just asking. München or Munich? You know, you tell me. Italia, Italy, Rome, Roma, you know, Paris, Paris. What are we doing here? We're going to change one because that's not what they call it in the country. But the other ones, nah, we're not going to bother with those. I was like, okay, I don't understand. Walk me through it. Help me out with this. I used to love to troll those people. You know, well, we're not going to. It's Germany. No, it's not. They don't call it Germany. You understand that, right? They call it Deutschland. Okay, and just we changed Holland to the Netherlands. Why? Because they don't call it Holland. Oh, so we're doing that with Germany? No. Oh, no. Why not? They don't call it. Okay. 404-726-0929. So anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying we have Ohio State and Illinois coming up at 1245. We're talking about the Hawks. What do they do now? Is the Luka thing a one-off, or are we about to have, because the trade deadline is Thursday in the NBA, are we about to have this as not a one-off, but as a set-off for a ton of shocking trades? I'm guessing it's kind of a one-off. There may be one more that surprises us a little bit. But understand, two things happened with this trade last night. Well, set aside that it happened way late at night, in the middle of the night, you know, near midnight. But the second part of this was that nobody had any idea it was coming. The Mavericks and the Lakers, they kept this hush, 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 hush. Quiet, down low. I mean, no, the LA Times didn't know. The Dallas Morning News didn't know. You know, Shams didn't know. Nope, nobody knew. And nobody knew this was coming down. And all of a sudden it broke and everybody went, hey, Luka's going to the Lakers for Anthony Davis? Now there's other parts involved there, but nobody cares about Markieff Morris or Max Christie or any of that. They only care about Luka and AD. So Luka's going to the Lakers. And Noah, I think I'm right in the analysis here that this isn't about pairing him with LeBron. It's about replacing LeBron, correct?
Yes, I think it's about seeing what you can get out of the two of them together, but this is very much a heir apparent situation.
Right. I think it's about, you know, they finish this year, maybe they play next year, or may finish this year and maybe LeBron, if he really wants to play again, and he probably does, maybe LeBron goes somewhere else. Maybe the Lakers say, you know what, somebody with Luka, and we can get a young player here, and LeBron still has value to a team that thinks they're on the cusp of winning, and we can ship him off. So, you know, there's no reason to trade for Luka except to replace LeBron as the, you know, Lakers like to do as the face of the franchise, because the two of them together, I don't see how it works. The same guy. It's like Trey and DeJounte didn't work because they were the same. I kept telling you, they're the same guy. They're both, you know, ball-dominant point guards who are stop-and-pop, drive, penetrate, and kick, stop-and-pop, ball-dominant point guards. You can't have two of those same. They're the same guy. Luka and LeBron, their games are the same. They're both, you know, 6'8", 6'9". They're both big, strong, powerful, you know, kind of point guards who are ball-dominant point guards who want to post up and shoot threes and explode to the basket and take over a game by themselves. They're not complementary players. They're the same dude. I don't see how they work together on the floor. LeBron's going to say, yeah, you take that side of the floor, I take this one? You think that's how those guys – you think those – that's not how they work, okay? My floor, I decide. Luka gets on and goes, my fluoride. When you get two guys who go on the floor and say, my fluoride aside, it's like the Spider-Man meme, and they're both pointing at each other. I mean, it just doesn't work. So, see what other fallout comes from this in terms of the future of LeBron James towards the end of it. It'll be kind of fascinating to watch. That's the other part of this. But since nobody expected what was happening last night in the dead of night at midnight, I think you can expect the unexpected. Now, that is not to say that the Hawks are suddenly trading Trey. Noah, I got another question for you. Did you see Trey's tweet this morning, his ex post?
No, I didn't see this morning's tweet.
Can you look it up real quick? Because I want to get your opinion on it, okay? Because it's a picture of, is that a pawn and two exclamation points? Because I'm trying to figure out, because, you know, another day, another opportunity. Sometimes he tweets in code. And
yes, he loves the tweeting code.
Yeah, so he tweets again. It's a picture of like a pawn from
pawn
a chess game.
And two exclamation points.
So who's the pawn? It's not a checkmate. You know, that would be, right? That would be like the queen.
Right.
Correct? It's not a king, so he's saying, you know, hey, listen, it's a pawn. And I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean? I don't know. If anybody can look at Trey Young and tell me what the pawn with two exclamation points means, walk me through it. 404-726-0929. Love to hear you kind of take me through that here. I'm getting some reaction on my ex post about the trade here. Like Scott writes in, he says the Hawks are as serious about winning titles as the Falcons clowns. I disagree with Scott. I think the Falcons are serious about winning titles. I think Arthur Blank has proven that he's serious about winning titles. He spent more money than anybody in the NFL in the offseason 2 years ago, spent more money in free agency than anybody in the NFL last year. He's serious about winning titles. The fact that he's made, the people that they've signed and haven't worked out is not Arthur Blank's fault. Arthur Blank's not a football expert, obviously. It isn't that he isn't serious about winning a title. It's that it just hasn't worked in his favor. Tony Russell, I have some questions about. I mean, they don't seem to be too serious about winning a title because they haven't really made moves. Did they trade for Luka? No, they didn't trade for Luka. You know, did they pick up the phone and call Dallas and say, hey, listen, what do you want for Luka? Which is interesting, brings up another thing here. Let's go back and do a little revisionist history. Hawks draft Luka Doncic, right? Everybody knows that. Everybody understands the Hawks drafted Luka. Then they turned around and traded him to Dallas after Dallas drafted Trae Young, and they traded him for Trae Young and the number 10 pick the next year, which turned out to be Cam Reddish, which turned out to be no good. Would you trade today, last night, would you, if Dallas had picked up the phone, would you have traded Trae Young for Luka Doncic? Knowing what you know about him at 270 pounds? I'm just curious. Would you have, if that's an absolute, yeah. So two things here now. Let's advance this story. Well, three. Because I really want you to tell me what are the Hawks going to do with Clinton Bogey? I think it's all about draft picks, but I could be wrong. And, by the way, I've been wrong before. I've been married twice. If Dallas had called at midnight last night, would you have said, Luka for Trey straight up, would you have made the deal? I'm just kind of curious as to all that, you know, what you would have said here. All right, let's talk about it. 404-726-0929. John Fricke with you on this Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop the show. All right. I got a text here in the break from a friend of mine. John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios. I know what you're thinking, right? John, you have friends. Okay, I do. Okay. I actually have more than you think. I may have three or four. Two of which are named Howard, and one of them is Dumb Howard. And Dumb Howard is listening, okay? And Dumb Howard texts me and says, "Hey, what if we traded?" I won't use his language because it's, you know, not fit for air. You know, he tends to be a little bit loose with his lips here, and it's 11:21 on a Sunday morning. Anyway, it'll be a summation here. Trey to the Lakers for LeBron, Bronny, and two first-round picks. Okay. Now, Trey, first off, let's stop with this, okay? I don't even have to look to tell you that I'm pretty sure that LeBron James has a no-trade clause in his contract, okay? I'm just probably true. I'm just telling you that he probably has a no-trade clause in his contract, all right? That is, because he's saying, you know, if they don't blank and want, Luka to play with LeBron, then let's do that. Okay, so it goes on. Anyway, that's why I say it's way too early in the morning on a Sunday morning to be reading everything Dumb Howard says. We'll play along here for a second with you, Howard. What if the Lakers suddenly called the Hawks and said, look, we have two of the same guys. We don't want the 40-year-old guy. We don't want his son at all because his son sucks. He shouldn't be in the NBA. He's absolutely the worst player in the NBA. By the way, he is absolutely the worst player in the NBA. He's terrible. He does not belong in the. He doesn't belong in the G League. Okay. So anyway, we want to unload this really bad, crappy player because his dad plays on the team. So LeBron, Bronny, and two number ones to the Hawks for Trae Young. If I'm Lakers, I make that trade in a heartbeat. Oh yeah, done. You know, sure. Do I want Trey and Luka on the same team? Yes. If I'm the Hawks, do I want to make that trade? Hell no. No. Because what does LeBron do for you now? Nothing. He's not taking you over the line, right? And he's such a ball dominant guy. I mean, you got all these young guys around, you know, with, you know, Dyson and Zach and O and JJ and all these young guys. LeBron's not about dishing the ball out to them and helping them get better. He's about, I'm getting mine. No, I would not make that trade if I were the Hawks. If I'm going to trade Trey, that's not the trade I'm making. Right, Noel, or no?
Right.
Yeah, no. If I'm the Lakers, I make that trade in a heartbeat. Trey and Luka? Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. If you're the Lakers, you do that immediately and stick us with the expiring talent.
Yeah. No. If I'm trading Trae Young in some kind of an explosive deal, you got to match contract salaries, I understand that. But, you know, I will take a bunch of dead wood, okay, to try to equal Trae's, what does he make, $43 million or something? A bunch of dead wood to try to get to that $43 million. And, you know, just deadwood. But you got to give me, with that deadwood, three number one picks, okay? I'm taking the deadwood off your hands, but I got to get something in return. The deadwood doesn't do me any good, doesn't do you any good. So, you know, give me three number ones. And at least most, if not all of them, I need unprotected. And, you know, so I'm, because that's what I have to have. But anyway, so no, Howard, no. I still don't know. So I need to know, what do you do with Trey? What do you think the Hawks are going to do with Clint and Bogey? And what do you make of the Trey tweet? Because I'm missing something. Sometimes I'm pretty good, Noel, with a cryptic tweet. But this pawn and two exclamation points, I'm not sure I – and this is just me being legit, okay? I'm just being straight up with you. If somebody understands it, could decipher it, I can't. I don't know what he's trying to say. Noel, did you figure it out, what he's trying to say?
I have no idea.
Yeah, neither do I. So if somebody understands what Trey is saying with this post at the Trae Young with the pawn and the two exclamation points, about this trade, but I don't know who's the pawn, who's playing chess, or I honestly don't know. You know, if I did, I would tell you. Oh, I got this figured out. This is what it means. 404-726-0929. If you'd like to be part of the program, sorry, I got to say it slower for those of you in Acworth. 404-726-0929. Okay? That's my family saying to me, I say the phone number too fast. You need to slow down when you're saying the phone number. 404, everybody knows the area code. You know the first three numbers. You know the last three. We're in the 404. I know we're also in the, 678 and the this and the that. But, you know, I grew up, it was only 404. You're in the 404, so you know that part of it. And then you know the last three because it's 929. So you just got to remember four numbers, 7260. If you remember 7260, you got the number, right? 404-7260-929. You tell me here. So I need a Falcons fan to come in here and jump into the show and tell me a little bit about what he thinks of the Falcons. Would you trade Kyle Pitts? Every Falcons fan, yes, I would trade Kyle Pitts in a heartbeat. You know, because trade capital, the Hawks and the Falcons are in the same boat. They have traded away and lack trade capital. And the NBA draft is coming up in June, and the Hawks have two first-round picks, one of which will not convey and will turn into a potential lottery pick for the San Antonio Spurs. The other first-round pick that the Hawks hold, interestingly enough, is held by Luka's team, the Lakers. The Hawks have the Lakers pick, but that's going to be mid-20s, right? And it could be even worse, you know, if Luka gets there and gets healthy and gets back in the court and they make a late run, it could be even worse than that. So it's not going to be a very good pick at all. And they traded away all these number ones. The San Antonio's got that pick. This is part of the DeJounte Murray trade. So they got to try and recoup some of these draft picks. So I think the Clint and Bogies are about trying to get draft picks back. And the Falcons, of course, they have a one, they have a two, but they don't have a three. That was traded away in the Jadon deal. They have a four, but they don't have a five. That was taken away because of the Kirk Cousins penalty. And they don't have a six because that was part of the Van Jefferson trade. So you don't have a three, a five, and a six for, and you got nothing for them, right? So now you got a one, a two, a four, and two sevens. So they're really kind of sketch when it comes to, so that's why people are talking about trading down and, you know, could you go in the 20s, pick up a third rounder? You know, how do you handle this? Or would you be willing to trade Kyle Pitts? And if I'm willing to trade Kyle Pitts, I'm not saying I am. I don't know that the team is. I have no idea. I wouldn't want anything less than a third-round pick, okay? So if the Cowboys, you know, that was one rumor, the Cowboys might be interested in Kyle Pitts. Make no mistake, there would be a number of teams interested in Kyle Pitts, at least on a one-year flyer. Because he's in the fifth year of his contract, because the Falcons picked up his fifth-year option, to bring him in for a year, see if he's worth it. You know, there are a lot of teams that are still intrigued by him. So I don't know that the Falcons are necessarily going to trade Kyle Pitts. I think they'd have to get some kind of strong value for him, maybe a high three. And even then, I don't know. They may not want to trade him at all. Beats me. 404-726-0929. Steven is with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Morning to you, Steven.
Hey, thank you for slowing down the number when you were giving it out to us. I appreciate it.
No worries.
I know you said nobody.
You know, well, you don't by any chance. You don't by any chance live in Acworth, do you?
No, I'm in Austell. You're Six Flags.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. You're still in Cobb County, though.
Yes,
Cobb County.
Yes. Okay. South Cobb County. Yes. Instead of North Cobb. Yes, sir. And I miss you and Hugh. I miss y'all. Y'all shows with my family. Double A is the GM of the century, best GM in sports right now. Real quick about the Braves, but the Trae Young tweet. I believe I saw a snippet of a video from Kevin Durant, and it kind of gave the impression that anybody is movable now. If you can move a top three player, arguably MVP set, in the league in a moment's notice, Trae is saying we are all pawns, and it's not really up to us, and it's out of our hands as players. Anybody can be moved at any time.
Okay, well, unless you have a no-trade clause.
Right. And you were just talking about LeBron with that, yeah. And I don't want him in that.
Yeah, all right, and that may well be. I mean, they don't give out no-trade clauses to very many people. You got to be a special guy, you know, and you got to be a special guy to get a no-trade clause. Okay, that makes perfect sense, Stephen. Thank you. That would be something here. I can't imagine what it's like. Sir. I mean, you know, look, none of us make $40 million in a year, so it's, you know, we should all be so lucky. But I can't imagine what it's like to work in an industry where suddenly, you know, you wake up one morning, whatever business that you happen to be in, and like Noel, you know, what if I said that, you know, suddenly, you know, you and I have been traded to Indianapolis for a host. We were traded. We got to go. What? Right?
Yeah, just out the blue.
Now you got to uproot your life and everything and go because somebody decided that they wanted to trade? I mean, it's got to be really, especially for, you know, players that have families. You know, it's got to be really hard. You know, if I were a single guy playing professional sports, I might not be inclined to buy. You know, might not be inclined to get married for that matter until I was done playing because of the possibility of trades. Just because I don't want to uproot you uproot your family and move. I mean, it happens to some of us. If you're in the military, it happens. Well, I understand that. You get reassigned. You don't have a choice. It happened to me. My dad was in hotels, so I had to move a lot when I was a kid. I was in the media. For me, I chose to move. When I chose to leave someplace and go somewhere, it was on me. You know, I wasn't being told I had to go somewhere. I just got a better offer and I went, you know. So when I went to New York, I got paid a lot more money than CNN was willing to pay me, okay? They quadrupled more than quadrupled my salary. I couldn't turn it down. When they said the figure, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to New York. I didn't like it in New York, but boy, they paid me a lot of money to go to New York. So anyway, neither here nor there. 404-726-0929. Yeah, so yeah, they may all just be pawns. That may be exactly what it is. Stephen may be 100% on that here. And so speaking of trades, everybody talking about trades. NBA trade deadline is Thursday, and will this kickstart? It'll be really interesting to see what this kickstarts here. And, you know, does it kickstart a whole bunch of stuff with big names moving left and right? Because understand one of the things you have in the NBA right now is you have this lower tier. Like, look who's asking out. Jimmy Butler's out in Miami. Not even with the team. They basically kicked him off the team. Bradley Beal publicly is saying, I want the hell out of Phoenix. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, Brandon Ingram is, you know, apparently being floated by the Pelicans to any team and trying to get the best deal. Same with Zach LaVine in Chicago. So it's not going to be a surprise to me if any of these guys move. It's just you, if you're the Hawks, you got to try and make a move. You know, when Pascal Siakam went to the Toronto, to the Indiana Pacers, the Hawks didn't, you know, I was screaming to go get him. Look at the Pacers now. Look where the Hawks are. And see, that's my problem with the Hawks is they're not making that move. They're not going and getting a Siakam to go with their Halliburton. You're not getting that guy to go with Trey. Go get that guy to go. Go get that guy. All right? 404-726-0929. Pardon me. 404-726-0929. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Isn't this what all Atlanta sports fans are saying right now? That you want them to do something? Noel, what do all of Atlanta Hawks fans want to say to their teams?
Tell me something
good. It's in the song. Yeah, tell me something good. I always love this song. Rufus. That's Shaka God. Anyway, so all the teams in town are moving right now. And Atlanta United, well, the Dream has made two moves, both designed to make them the best team in the WNBA, and they may have done that, by the way. United has made multiple moves here, including the Miggy move, multiple moves, and they're going to be making more. We expect, Latte Lath, designed to make them the best team in Major League Soccer. So the Dream are moving heavy, hard, fast to win WNBA crown right now. Atlanta United moving heavy, hard, fast to win MLS Cup right now. Okay, and both going to have a really good shot at doing that. The Braves have made a move to help try to offset the regular season. Will they make another to try, especially if it's Dylan Cease, or if it's David Robertson or Michael King, to help them try and make a run at a championship right now? As for the other two teams, I don't know. And everything's going to happen super fast here, okay? Because we're 4 days away, four days from the NBA trade deadline. It's Thursday, okay? And then we're 10 days away, we're 10 days away from pitchers and catchers. So the Hawks have to move fast. They have a deadline. The Braves need to move fast if they're going to get a Dylan Cease or a David Robertson or something like that to get them into training camp. It's 10 days away from reporting here, so we don't have a whole lot of dilly-dallying around. We got to get these guys in, get them settled, get them down to spring training, and get them with the team. And then for the Falcons, they got about 5 weeks. And so you got 5 weeks to March 10. Now you got a lot of, you just got done with the Senior Bowl, and now we get into the combine that's coming up. But you've got to also try and figure out how you're going to maximize some draft capital and help your team. Are you going to be making trades? What are you doing with Kirk Cousins? 5 weeks to legal tampering. What are you going to do? Are you going to re-sign Simmons? Are you going to re-sign Dalton? You better do that. Are you going to re-sign, you know, Newsill? Are you going to re-sign Kadarius Hodge and you know, Mike Hughes? You got a whole bunch of free agents you got to kind of consider here. Avery Williams, what are you going to do with him? Is Judon gone? I mean, you have all your own free agents to deal with, and you only have 5 weeks. Sounds like a long time until you go, it's only 5 weeks. And then you got to go out and say, okay, what do we want to go in free agency and get? For example, in free agency, if you can create, and I'm all for getting rid of Judon, okay? It just didn't work. If Justin Simmons wants to come back on a team-friendly deal, sure, only because you have three holes in the secondary right now, and I don't want to, I mean, Simmons wasn't great, but maybe a new staff with a new defensive passing game coordinator can get a better thing out of him. We have three holes. I'd like it to be only two, okay? And so I'm okay with that. Obviously, I think Dalton is the number one guy you got to bring back. You absolutely have to bring back Drew Dalton. Now, after that, I would like to be able to get the Cousins deal kind of figured out here and see if we didn't have some money to go dabble into some free agents here. Because I would like to make a run, for example, I'd like to make a run at Chase Young. Okay? Chase Young's a free agent. Let's see if we can't get him. Somebody like that, you know, and suddenly, because you have Ebikadie Wright, and you've got Braylon Trice, who we didn't see last year because he got injured in preseason. And so you got Braylon Trice, and you got Ebikadie, you got D'Angelo Malone. You know, let's see if we can get a Chase Young, and maybe you draft a Mike Green or a James Pierce Jr. Now you're loading up that position, okay? We're finally addressing it, and we're loading it up. If you can get Chase Young and a Mike Green now with the guys that you have, okay, now I think we've got the edge, guys. If we can't make that work, then forget it. 404-726-0929. We go to, and that's me doing the number fast again, Brian. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon or good morning. Thanks for having me. Long, long time listener, big time fan. Love your take on a lot of the situations with Atlanta sports. Help me out here, John. Transplant, obviously, from the Northeast. Don't beat me up. So long been trying to connect with Atlanta sports, you know, sort of say that ideology from up north, that strong, mean person on that particular team where, you know, you punch somebody in the face, you set some standards, and then, you know, great, tutelage under the leadership in whatever sport. Why in Atlanta? For over 15 years, I've been dying to become a fan. What is it with Atlanta? And again, long-time listener, big-time fan of yours, John.
A fan of any particular team here?
No, just want to be totally succumbed in the Atlanta sports world, constantly around it. Love 929. You guys got fabulous setup throughout the week and weekend. And so constantly hearing for over a decade, you know, kind of getting into an Atlanta sports and always saying, like, what is it with Atlanta? What's the shtick in the sense where nobody wants to come, set that tone, and at least have a decade of, you know, not mediocre sports in Atlanta, because we're a great city over here. Because Atlanta's my home. Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's a fair question, Brian. I think we've had some success, right? I mean, if you look at, I mean, the Braves have had quite a bit, correct?
Correct. So in this reset, and I appreciate that, you're right. I'm saying in the sense where everybody's hitting the reset button. It looks like the football team is kind of doing it right now with the new quarterback. But Atlanta basketball, I'm more of an NBA fan.
Okay, that's fair. That's why I wanted to know where you were coming from here, because I was going to, well, we did win an MLS Cup. We did have a football team that got to a Super Bowl, even though it didn't go our way. almost got back there the next year and needs to kind of find its footing again. And yes, that's an issue here. I think the owner's doing his best to address it by spending a ton of money. Has he hired the right people? That's a different story. And that's just a case of that. And Lord knows we got great college football here. Why college basketball isn't, I don't know.
I just think the timing is right.
So, but specifically to the NBA. Well, I mean, look, the best owner of the Hawks have ever had was Ted Turner, right? And you know, and then we went through an ownership group. I don't know if you remember the Atlanta Spirit that was just.
I do. I was here for
okay.
Over 15
years. All right. So, that disaster. So Tony Russell comes in with his group here and with his wife, Jamie Gertz. And you know, I've talked to the man, met the man. He said to me, my goal is to win multiple titles. And I'm like, okay, why he hasn't, you know, greenlit the idea? He's a billionaire. I mean, he's got more than enough cash. Why he hasn't greenlit the idea to go ahead and go into the luxury tax and go hard and go ham for a championship here is a little confounding. I'm not going to lie. I don't understand. So I can't help you with that. I don't know why.
You know, I like the pressure you apply to a lot of the ownership and Atlanta sports and the leadership. You know, I love it because it's kind of what we need. I know a lot of the locals and the leadership members who you get on to try to pressurize, you know, because you pretty much speak for the majority of us. Your history, I'm appreciating as far as experience in the game and giving it to Atlanta, you know, like they need it, you know, without any sugar. I think you should keep pouring it on. Atlanta, obviously second to football, but it's a basketball city. And let me tell you, Trae Young, that's a big, big question mark. I think with the moves today, this morning from the Lakers, I think, you know, this is the perfect time to make your splash as far as basketball, wholesale, reset button, no question.
Yeah, I've never, and I appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for the call here. I've never understood why Atlanta, we could argue that it's a basketball town. I'm not sure. Atlanta's still a football town, okay? It just is. You know, it just football's king here. But still, having said that, I don't understand. I've never quite figured out. Why? Because in the 80s, okay, what did we have here for basketball? Well, we had Dominique, and then the next year after Dominique, and this is the early 80s, obviously, Vern Fleming took Georgia to the Final Four. That was Hugh Durham. They went to the Final Four, right? And then you had Bobby Kremins come into Georgia Tech with that litany of stars that went through Georgia Tech. Look at all of the NBA stars that played at Georgia Tech. If you go into their Hall of Fame, you're like looking and going, oh, my God, look at all these NBA stars, Sally and, you know, Price and Kenny Anderson and Marbury. And I mean, it just goes, you know, there's Chris Bosh. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. And you're going, oh, my goodness gracious, look at all the great players that came through here, you know, in this team. And there were a couple of times where Bobby Kremins had, well, one time in particular, that Sally, you know, Mark Price, Dwayne Farrell, Brian Oliver, Yvonne Joseph team that was – they were the number one team in the nation. They were just the best team in the nation, and they got into the Elite Eight against Georgetown and gagged and just drove us all nuts. So, you know, why in the world has college basketball been the way it's been? Why has the NBA been the way it's been? In the 80s, you had the height of Dominique and Doc and Randy Whitman and Karen Livingston and Willis and all those guys with the Czar of the Telestrator, and Ted was put together a team that was really good. And then you went through a number of years, of course, with Joe and Josh, where we were pretty good, and you had the 60-win team season. So, I mean, there have been some good teams here. Dominique kept getting blocked, obviously, by Bird, Parrish, McHale, Johnson, Ainge, and then, of course, later on, it was, the Bad Boys with Isaiah and the Bad Boys, and then, of course, it became Michael Jordan. But so they kept getting blocked in the East. You know, it was like bad timing award. If they had been in the West, they would have been in multiple NBA finals, but that's not the point. They may not have won any of them, but they would have made it. Just bad timing award to be in the East. So, but I've never understood why basketball has not been better in this town. I mean, it's been okay at times. It was good in the 80s, and then it's just kind of drifted off here. I've really never understood George and Georgia Tech, and I'm not saying that Fox and Stoudemire, and I know George is better this year, can't get it going there, but boy, it's been a long drought. And from a college basketball standpoint, over the last decade, the two best franchises, two best teams, not franchises, in town have been Georgia State and Kennesaw State. Yeah. They're the ones that made the tournaments. And I'm not slighting the Panthers or the Owls. I have ties to both. My brother went to Georgia State. My daughter went to Kennesaw State. My money went to Kennesaw State. So, the fact is that I've never understood why basketball isn't better here. It is kind of confounding. And you keep thinking, well, if it ever clicks, then it's finally going to take off. Well, the thing about it is, you know, you try your best when it's a college to get the right coach in the right situation. Of course, nowadays it's a little bit different with the whole NIL portal thing, but you still try to get the right combination of things. You know, you got to go out and get your John Calipari, who just went back to Kentucky and won last night. So you try and get that guy in that situation and start winning. And maybe Georgia finally does. That's possible. With Stoudemire at Tech, is that going to happen? I hope so. I hope for Damon's sake and for Tech's sake it does. But, you know, because look at what Brett Key has meant to the football program. When it comes to the NBA, I don't get the Hawks. And I really do not get Tony Ressler. And what I doubly don't get is the radio silence. And I've talked about this. It's literally radio silence. You don't communicate with the fans. I guess maybe because my inclination, maybe it's because I'm a talk show host and it's what I do for a living, is talk to fans. Were I an owner, I would be really transparent and open. And I think that Arthur Blank is, by the way, as an owner, pretty transparent and open, and much more so than some Blank haters understand. He goes on 929. I've talked to the man multiple times in interviews and on and off the air. Multiple. And Lord knows we've been on the air a little over 12 and a half years. I'm going to say the over-under on the number of times Arthur Blank has done an interview on 929 The Game is 50. It may be more than that. It may be 100. Maybe not 100, but it's certainly over 50. I would say, Noel, would you say four times a year? I would say 50.
Yeah.
At least.
40, 50, 60, somewhere in that range. Yeah. We have Arthur Blank often.
Yeah.
Owner of a team that's not Jerry Jones,
right.
We haven't put it often.
You know, I think I had Tony Ressler on twice. Twice? He just doesn't.
Anything
just,
out of the Hawks you're going to get from Puffy K. Anything else is like
right. You're
like
gonna get you're gonna get Coonan, exactly. Not, look, I love Steve Coonan. Don't get me wrong. And he's really good in the air. He's funny. He's glib. He's really well spoken. But he's not the owner, and so he's only going to be kind of, you know. There's a limit to what Steve Coonan can say. Okay. By the way, I think Steve Coonan does a really good job. I think he actually kind of pushes and steps over the line a little bit, which I like about him because he's the one guy who gives you a little bit of insight. Okay. He's an old television executive, so he understands how to communicate, right? Which is a good thing. But it's not like Steve Coonan is just, he's not an owner. And by the way, it's not like the owner's wife wasn't a major movie star who knows how to walk and talk and speak into a camera. She does, obviously. You know?
Love square pegs, by the way.
Maybe if we have like another like tornado chaser down the road, she'd come forward. I don't know. Maybe not. Dumb twister joke. Just a little bit more upfront about where we're going with this. Because if you can't make it work with Trey, then do the man right and make it work without him. That's all I'm saying. But don't continue to do this. That's why the next 4 days is going to be interesting to me. See what they do. They're probably going to do nothing and leave us all going, okay, whatever. Top of the hour, noon hour. Thank you, Noel White. As Eric Slaughter slides into the chair here, and more of your calls ahead with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.